Hello and good afternoon. You are listening to Chemical World on KDNK Community Access Radio. I am your host, Mugsy Faye, and for this month's episode of Chemical World, I will be thousands of miles away in another country on another continent. So in lieu of our regularly scheduled programming, I'm excited to share with y'all a conversation I had with my dear, dear cousin Emmett Hood Garcelon back in May at an event called The Long Conversation, hosted at the Crystal Theater right here in downtown Carbondale and put together by the amazing Kat Hardy and Carbondale Town Trustee Cade Gianetti. So hope y'all enjoy listening to this conversation as much as we enjoyed having it, and hope everyone has a great Monday.
And now I'd love to introduce our next speaker, Mugsy Faye, to the stage.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi, cuz.
Hey, glad to meet you here. Oh, how's it going?
Oh, really good. I'm just so happy that I've gotten to be here all morning. It's like the context for everything is so immense. Oh
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, such a cool, long conversation, yeah. Just big conversation.
For sure.
And yeah, when I saw it was you and I together at first, I was like, well, we know each other,
yeah, that's
pretty
gonna
well.
Be so basic.
We talk
like,
a
what?
Lot.
Come on.
But then as it got closer and closer, I got so excited.
Yeah, it was like, I don't get to like really, I don't know, deeply chop it up with you all the time, you know? We spend a lot of time at Uncle G's together, but you know, there's like, few moments where we get to talk about like what's real.
Yeah, and I think I've expressed this to you before, but it's been so cool. I mean, so just for context, we are cousins.
Yeah.
by marriage. Yeah. So we haven't technically been cousins our whole lives, but I'm also like 15 years older. Mm-hmm. And it has just been so freaking amazing to watch you and other young people, but you specifically like grow into, oh, I'm gonna start crying already. Growing into this amazing young man and professional, and just, you know, the work you're doing and how much you do, and how cool it is that, you know, we have this really, you know, we have this amazing community, but we have this real cool inner circle too of people who are putting on these events and putting on these concerts. And I'm it's such an honor for me to be able to work with you in that more professional space and see you blossoming.
Absolutely,
there.
As a talented musician, like I sometimes forget that you're just like this incredibly talented musician among like all the other like great work you do for the Valley, which I will definitely want to get into because these people have to know. But oh my God, yeah, like our shared love of music and community is just like one of the things like I feel like this community fosters so well. And you know, you get to play at so many cool places, so I imagine that's like been awesome. Like you get to see so many different corners of what the scenes look like. I don't know, yeah.
Well, and yeah, I think I also forget sometimes that I'm a talented musician. and also like among all the other things I do, right? I'm just like, what all do I do? Because I can't, I'm trying to learn how to say no. but it's hard. We have so many cool opportunities. And I think it's such a wild range of like, you know, doing stuff that, from the Limelight to the Ute, like all across the Valley, so many different kinds of venues. But at the end of the day, it's like a lot of the same people putting these on. And, you know, I think specifically like last summer with the Vibe Socials that we started
doing.
Yeah,
those were so cool.
And it was such a cool opportunity. I think specifically the one at Bonedale Tattoo where I'm like,
the first one,
we literally have people from like age like 17 to 70.
Making great music.
And it's people from all walks of life, all languages, all ages, all socioeconomic statuses, and we're all brought together by our love for music, right? And that's so cool to see.
Absolutely. I don't know, I've never gotten the story on what inspired you to like start playing.
That's an amazing question. Well, I think he might have just stepped out, but I always say, like, I'm so grateful for my dad. I mean, you know, I grew up, and I'm sure kind of similar experience, like, I grew up in KDNK, right? And being exposed to all this music.
Walls of CDs and records, it's, like, so incredible.
Yeah, and my parents were Deadheads, and we followed the Grateful Dead around, and there was always music and art in our home. And, you know, my dad specifically, he taught me about ska music, he taught me about punk music, he taught me about just, you know, hip hop, like all these different genres. And I think about that a lot, that, you know, I just am so grateful to have that kind of music education and that real just influence of music and art from a really young age. And so I think it was like always inside of me. I think when I was like 12 or 13, I got my first bass guitar, and when I was a teenager, I was around all these punk bands. And then when I was, around your age, I was around all these like traveling folk bands. And now I'm around all these like more EDM groups. And I think that that's cool that as my music taste kind of changes and develop, I continue to be surrounded by music.
Yeah.
And find myself in these groups. And I think one of the Vibe Socials was kind of this realization of like, I'm not just like a part of this, like I'm a central component of this. Yeah. And it's me and me creating music too. So yeah, I feel like it just kind of was always there in the background.
Yeah, for sure. It was kind of similar for me. Like you don't realize how much things like affect you until you're just taking time to reflect and like on how great some of the settings in this valley are. And yeah, things like Mountain Fair, things like Katie and Kay, and then like, you know, we're so lucky we get to have world-class acts fly through the belly up. And then by proxy, I mean, this is just one of the most like core memories for me. But like Pato Bantan, when he came to Carbondale, like he was supposed to play at the belly up and the belly up couldn't like book him because they were already booked. And he was just like, well, screw it, we're going to Carbondale. And then that was like one of the most incredible like music in the parks I've ever been to. And it was just this reminder that like, man, we are so lucky to get some of the incredible artists that we get to see through here. And it's places like Steve's, you know, like, oh my God, there have been some insane worldwide musicians that just come through and it's literally on the same block as this theater. Like,
yeah, we're so lucky to be from here, and it's kind of a blessing and a curse in a lot of ways, right? But I mean, Carbondale itself is just such a vibrant, eclectic, artistic town. And for those like national traveling acts who are lucky enough to know about Steve's, such a freaking cool space.
And then they come back because they're like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so, yeah, kind of thinking about like going in, like knowing that we were going to be having this conversation and kind of this opportunity to dig a little deeper than we often get to.
For sure.
We both grew up here, a big age difference apart, but I was curious kind of like your thoughts on like, you know, what do you think are like the kind of best parts about growing up here? What do you think like we still have and should hold on to, and what are maybe some of the like not so great parts?
I mean, yeah, I like feel so lucky that like I get to experience this great like bluegrass. I feel like the bluegrass scene is amazing here and always has been. And the old psychedelic rock scene is still like alive and well at every Mountain Fair. And then there's like other subgenres, but like those two for the most part, I feel like really, oh, and reggae, of course, like reggae is such a driving force in this community, just because it's like, you know, very community and, you know, healing oriented music, as like are with a lot of the other genres I mentioned. But I don't know, I just feel lucky that they're like, you know, that spirit, and I think we should hold on to all of those genres. I mean, like, inevitably things will change and, you know, people have different tastes. You know, as you know, I'm, you know, a big electronic music enjoyer, and I feel like the electronic music scene, like through the Vibe Socials and stuff like that, is really like starting to get going in Carbondale. And I'm really excited for that. And I think like there's some people at Mountain Fair that are kind of like, you know, we could never have like non-live music on the Mountain Fair stage. Like it always has to be live. And I'm like, I love that. And I think that like every Saturday night for as long as Mountain Fair lives, there should be a big fat band making everyone dance. But I'm not like opposed to having, you know, some more cool electronic artists, whether it's DJs or just like people like Eddie Hooligan, you know, just experimenting with like cool new ways that, you know, music is happening in the world right now. And so, yeah, I think that like it's evolving in the right way. And, you know, there's like some old minds that are like hard to accept change, especially when it's something so core as Mountain Fair. Like, you know, people hold on to what Mountain Fair music used to be and always has been. And, you know, I love that because you do need to keep the history alive and you do need to, you know, have good, you know, funky music for the deadheads to rock out to, because it just is what makes this valley. But at the same time, like, there is going to be, you know, change to happen at Mountain Fair musically. And, I'm right in the center of a lot of Mountain Fair things. So I'm just there to observe and help that, like, go well, you know? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Mountain Fair specifically is, you brought up something that I talk about a lot, and it's at Mountain Fair, it's at KD&K, it's at, I mean, here at the Crystal. It's like, how do we hold on to that authenticity and that history that made it what it is, while also acknowledging that, like, I'm a big analog technology person,
yeah.
But I'm also a sociologist and a psychologist, and I'm aware that, like, if we push against progress, that doesn't really help anything, right? And
yeah.
So something I'm often saying, especially with Mountain Fair, is like, yeah, of course we want to keep those old school roots alive, and we want to keep that community alive, but it's 100 times, if not 1,000 times bigger than it
yeah.
was 50 years ago, 55 years ago. So it's like, there has to be kind of some adaptability. But I love the way that, you know, the music, and now with the Oasis,
yeah.
Having just truly keeping that variety of music.
Yeah. And ushering in new stuff when it comes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, there are so many older folks that are just like, I mean, I feel like it comes from all the right places. I mean, no one is afraid of technology more than someone like me, I feel like. And that's hard to make people understand, because I love technology and I, you know, work with it all the time, and I get to see how it empowers people to be more creative. And at the same time, I'm terrified of how it's taking creativity away from those that, you know, should be getting to create the most. And so, yeah, that's been really hard. I mean, like, you know, no one... I don't know, it's so hard to make people understand how the internet, like, moves so fast. And it was, like, literally my childhood was, like, the progression of, like, the end of, like, the really fun internet that you probably grew up with. And, you know, the beginning of, like, social media and people just, like, hopping online and realizing that they could text someone instantly and, like, they would see that. And then getting to where we are now, which I don't feel like is a result of, like, the connectivity, but is just a result of capitalism plus connectivity gets us Meta and all those things that, like, are absolutely ruining, like, what my every person in my generation's, like, young adult life. People can't connect, and people, I mean, COVID has a lot to do with it. You know, people talked about COVID a lot, how that impacted people at school, how that impacted the rest of the community. And it's just, it's crazy to think about, because I went into high school, or I, like, finished middle school as COVID hit and went into high school as the pandemic was in full swing. Mm. And I can't tell you how much that impacted people like me who were at their critical years of development and, like, learning how to interact with people. Because really, like, teenage years are that. And I think we're, like, you know, 6 years later finding... Like, and I don't think a lot of people realize this, but finding, like, the second term, like, the longer term effects of people who have just grown up terminally online. And a lot of people don't even know that phrase, but it literally is just, like, you spend your whole life figuring out how to interact with people on the internet, and you are absolutely unable to try and form a real human connection, which I feel like is at the core of things like Mountain Fair and KD&K. So I get, like, why people are afraid of introducing things like, you know, like maybe they just, like, see it all in the same world as kind of this, like, overarching evil technology thing. But as someone that's had to grow up and loves technology so much and equally as terrified, I think there is, like, a very important balance, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a total double-edged sword. And yeah, I think I'm so grateful for you bringing that up, because, you know, I do a lot of work with college students, high school students, middle school students,
yeah.
And I think we're still continuing to see that effect. And it's like, as if that, you know, being on your phone all the time wasn't bad enough, and then we were forced to just be in front of screens
yeah.
for 6 months to 2 years, right? And just how much that's going to continue to reverberate throughout our society. And
for sure.
I mean, I think we're so lucky here in Carbondale specifically. We have such a robust community and so many opportunities to connect, and so we're kind of ahead of the game,
insulated a little bit, yeah,
yeah, in that sense. Which I also, to kind of an aside, I think it's very important to go out and remember that this is a bubble, and that they're, like, go out, you know, to Denver or Washington,
sure.
D.C. or parachute and just
yeah.
be like, oh, this is not how it is everywhere.
Most places,
you know?
Yeah. We are so lucky. And yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the best things about people that, you know, make it out of Carbondale and don't come back, is hopefully that they, you know, inspire wherever they go to be, you know, communities as robust as this one. Because, yeah, it is like, yeah, you know, it's a great place to raise kids. And then, you know, I was so lucky. I got to go on like the 6-week trip to Europe, like right after I graduated high school. And yeah, you just realize like, man, there is so much that's special about this place. And because of that, you know, there is a responsibility to spread that sense of connection and community wherever we go, you know?
Yeah, and I wanted to kind of go back to what you were saying too about like loving technology and being afraid of it. So the weird thing about technology, right, is we're more connected, we have more access to information, and as a society, we're more disconnected and more uneducated than ever, right?
Yeah.
And so all that connection and education isn't really giving us the connection and education that we need. But I kind of realized, like, again, like, you don't want to push against progress. The only thing that ever really stopped technological advancements were the churches in the Dark Ages, and that was like not good, right? That didn't work for anyone. And so when we think about like AI and art, and you know, and it kind of leads to like electronic music and these things, I think a lot about, I never really thought about this because obviously way before our generations, but I read this book that was talking about before we had photography, people had to draw everything.
People had to spend an hour like drawing or painting.
Illustrate
to make it last,
right? Yeah. And how impressive is that? And my I'm a big art fan, and I'm really impressed by realism in art because that takes so much skill to draw something the way it is. And so I just try to remind myself that like we're really afraid of AI with art and writing and music right now, but we've kind of seen these. I mean, 2,000 years ago, they were afraid that writing things down would make us stupider, right? So it's just kind of trying to find that balance of how do we move forward with these new technologies in a way that's sustainable.
Yeah. You got me thinking. I was sitting at my desk late at night a couple nights ago just designing a poster for an event I'm like planning, and I texted it to people, and some of the people were like, wow, this looks awesome. And then I immediately was like, yeah, no AI. And it got me thinking because, you know, there are a lot of like posters for it. Like that's what, like one of the number one reasons I see I use right now is for like events for like posters and stuff. And it was just interesting because I made that whole poster on my computer, and it would have been pretty much, it would have taken me like hours and hours and hours to do something like that, you know, 20 years ago, even like, you know, old software programs. And it would have taken me twice as long 40 years ago to do it like all by hand and like draw it out and everything. And I felt, you know, during the time when I was making the poster, I felt so creative. I was like, you know, put this little thing here, you know, adjust this the way I want it. And there, I just felt like I was exploding with creativity. And it was hard to, it was just hard to think like, am I, you know, relying on the computer that can, I can just like type something out and the text looks really good. And then I can like drag this pattern over here. And it's like, is all this pre-created and I'm just putting it together just like, you know, how I would if I was using AI? And I don't know, it was really hard to think about, but at the end of it, I was like, I felt so creative, and I also felt so accomplished at the end of it, and I feel like that's what matters at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's the juice, right? Like that you had, and that's the beauty of art, is like having that catharsis or that creativity and that emotional experience with your artwork, whatever it may be. And you know, it's like, I think we've talked about this in music for a long time, like there's only so many chords, right?
Exactly. How many melodies, how many melodies can you invent, you know?
And so sometimes you're like, oh, did I make this thing that like sounds just like something else or whatever? But for me as a musician, I feel like you have to kind of like let that go, because there's also that kind of hive mind experience of, you know, maybe I created this independently and there is something else that sounds just like it. And that's just a reflection of where we're at in time as a society.
And music is a great point because like it demonstrates that in so many ways, from like sampling to interpolation to like, you know, remixing and flipping and like all these different ways that people take ideas that have already were already so good and then like turn it into something that is this beautiful combination of their new creative idea and something that everyone has loved for so long. And there are a lot of people that think negatively about that, but at this point, especially in a thing like music where, you know, it's so hard to, at this point, like there's just so much musical output that it's sometimes hard to find something like perfectly original. which, you know, plenty of people still do, and that's an incredible thing too. But also, it is like awesome to see this beautiful marriage of the history of that art and someone's new idea or interpretation of that art. And I think that's like, you know, that should never be frowned upon.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of sampling.
Yeah.
Sounds cool most exactly. of the time.
Right? Yeah. But like someone like you that is like just a songwriter, like I'm sure like you might like catch yourself like, oh, does this sound kind of like this did? And you have like, you feel some way about it. And it's a crazy thing sometimes. But I would like be curious to know if like other types of artists feel that way when they make art, if they're like doing something too close to something that has already been made or something like that.
Yeah, well, and I think like the interesting thing about art in all of its forms is like we really have no idea what the artist thinks or what their intent
yeah.
is, right? And so we all take it in our own way, which is kind of the beauty of it, right? Like you can hear a song and think like, oh my God, how are they describing perfectly this experience that I'm having? And that might not have been their experience
at all.
Yeah, or looking at a painting and like, this is what I take away from it, but that might not be the artist's intent. And so I don't know, it's complicated because you want to like give respect where respect's due, but you also want to have that freedom to both appreciate and create art on your own terms.
Yeah. And I think that's like one of the most beautiful things about art is because there's so much room for interpretation. Like we find this great balance between what someone is trying to communicate and what someone wants to like feel communicated to them, you know? And that's like, you know, as opposed to conversation where things are very direct, art is just like this beautiful in between where everyone can feel their own way about it. And it's all positive, you know, it's incredible. I mean, this community fosters art in so many different ways. I mean, Carbondale Arts is just like the best at that. Between like putting up like sculptures on the bike project to, or along the bike path to like making sure, you know, Mountain Fair happens every year, and then like cool new things like the fashion show, like, you know, dancing and movement and all this expressive art. I mean, like, it's I almost forget sometimes that you're like a Silks performer too. Like, that's so incredible.
Yeah, again, me too. I don't know. I do. I feel so grateful. I always tell people, like, I'm not a weirdo. I was just raised in Carbondale. Like, I am a reflection of my community, which is such a cool community, and I'm so grateful for that. And, you know, when I was a kid, we had Katie and Kay and not a lot else. And now we have Carbondale Arts, and we have so many opportunities for dance and the fashion show. And, I mean, again, I'm, like, probably forgetting a million other things, but there's just so many. And, like, yeah, the aerial silk and so many other opportunities. This is the problem, is I'm like, I want to go to drawing club, I want to go to dance class,
do it all, yeah.
I want to go to all these things. And it's kind of like, again, a blessing and a curse that there's so much going on in town on any given Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday, whatever.
Yeah, everything. I guess like, yeah, my hardest thing is like between all that and like trying to work really hard and like, you know, have time to do tons of work. Like, how do you manage? I mean, for those that don't know, like, Maggie is this incredible like harm reduction teacher, educator, and I'm just like curious how you fit that all in.
Well, I'll be honest, I don't do the best job. And I like, honestly, even in the past 24 hours, I've been kind of having these very serious conversations with myself about like, where can I pull back, because yeah, I run this company and we do so much, and I'm really excited. I'll get to be at Roaring Fork tomorrow. I was
That's
at Yampa
awesome.
A couple weeks ago. We had a bunch of youth events and Parachute and Gypsum and all over this past week, because this is kind of where it gets really hectic. And then I do Silks and I do all this stuff with Carbondale Arts, and I'm the board president of KD&K and all these other things. And it's not easy. I do think too, like, it was a lot easier when I was single.
And yeah, now, you have this great relationship now. Oh my God.
Yeah, and looking towards like starting a family and stuff, which is like very exciting, but it is also this realization of like, okay, I'm not going to be able to do all these things. And so looking at like what is the most important to me. And I think specifically with work, like running my own business, the hardest part about that is, sure, I can create my own hours, but I also like say yes to everything every opportunity. So really, yeah, learning like what's most important. And so like, you know, youth education is absolutely like one of the most important things to me, one of the best opportunities. And so kind of seeing where like, okay, this is something I want to keep doing, or maybe this is something that's not serving me as much, you know.
Perfect. Oh my God, that's, yeah, it's, I mean, I just have such a hard time, like, you know, like you said, like, I just got asked to, you know, have a slot on Katie and Kay, and I'm already, like, it's only twice a month in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week. It's, like, the perfect time that it like, most perfect time it could possibly be, and still I'm like, yeah, but already, like, I have no time.
Twice a month is hard. Yeah. It comes up fast.
Yeah, yeah. And on another note, I've always been, yeah, like, you know, the arts are often, you know, I don't know what the white or what the right word is, but, like, have a good relationship with, you know, responsible use of drugs, and there's a lot of that in this valley, and especially with the amount of new kids in our schools, and, like, the amount of access that there is now to a lot of, like, dangerous substances. I've always felt so grateful that someone like you is here to teach these kids that, like, you know, it's okay that you love to do this thing, and also there's a responsible way to balance it in your life and make it a safe thing, you know.
And I appreciate you kind of, like, creating that golden thread in this conversation here at the very end, is, like, that's unfortunately part of what comes with art and music, right?
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of podcasts that talk about the correlation between comedians and musicians, and that, yeah, they're kind of the same. And I'm like, yeah, because they're all expressing pain through their art,
yeah,
in a lot of these,
absolutely,
situations. And so the reality is that mental health issues, substance use, all these things, right? And so we just, I'm so honored to be kind of a part of this change. And this is something I've literally wanted to do since I was 10 years old. It's just a reality-based approach to sex and drugs. People,
yeah,
are gonna have sex and use drugs. And especially when we're talking to young people, like, talking to people like they're adults and have,
yeah,
agency in their own lives is not something we've seen a lot historically. And so,
yeah,
I'm so grateful to be able to have, like, excellent relationships and friendships and professional colleague relationships with so many badass young people here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, just like, yeah, it's so incredible that you've gotten to, like, you know, you experienced that as a kid, you saw this valley, and you got to grow up here, so you know all that it's like, and I feel like it's just the most perfect person to educate people on the right way and the safe way. And, you know, I mean, I have two little sisters, and, you know, they have fun, we go to raves and, you know, do all sorts of shit, but there's like someone that needs to show someone the responsible way. So,
well,
thank you for that.
Thank you. And 30 minutes is not enough, but I would love to end. What is that quote on that flyer about when we rave together? This is like some.
I found it from an old 90s rave poster, and I was just like, this is perfect. This is everything I want my event to be, and it's all that it needs to be, because the world is such a dark place, and all I want is a place where people can come and dance and, you know, have that community and just have fun.
It's church, and I appreciate you doing all you do to bring it to us and make it happen.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you too. Hug it out, y'all.